Well, hello there, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Confused Breakfast Podcast. Do you remember the pure joy of a trip to the video rental store as a kid?
I do.
The excitement of walking down the aisles, browsing the names and the artwork, and finally picking out the movie you were going to take home with you. Sure, it's hard to beat the ease of the modern era and streaming platforms where you don't even have to leave your couch. But there was something truly special about making that trip to Blockbuster, finding a movie that was made out of your favorite video game, and taking it home to watch. On this podcast, we revisit and dissect some of our favorite childhood movies from that magical era to see if they still move us the way they did as kids. I'm your host, Mike Schulte, and joining me as always, two evil, egg-sucking sons of snakes, Sean Pryor and AJ Vance. How the heck are you?
I think a hard-boiled egg is my favorite food of all time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I love to suck eggs.
You love just sucking eggs?
Yeah.
Right out of the shell.
Yep, that's where I'm going with this.
I love it.
I made the decision. That's I'm going to go there with that.
Follow the fear.
I've decided to take that path.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah. I love it.
My boys, on this episode, we discuss the first Hollywood film directly based on a specific video game. A video game that happens to be one of the most beloved video game series of all time. A movie that had more problems than we could possibly get around to talking about on a single episode.
Yeah.
In honor of the new movie coming out on April 5th, we go back in time to 1993 to review Super Mario Bros.
Bros.
Well, damn dang it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for another nostalgic journey to the past with the Confused Breakfast. Sit back, relax, and enjoy wherever you are in the world. Take it away, boys.
Thank you.
Well, if you are new to this podcast, we will be reviewing this movie scene by scene with a modern eye. But in order to do that properly, we got to talk about it nostalgically, bring up those feelings we had as kids when we first watched this movie. AJ, tell us the first time you saw this movie, what your memories of it were, and what your nostalgic rating is.
We wanted to see this movie very badly. We didn't get to go and see it in theaters, I don't think. When we did see it, I remember thinking literally in that moment, I am trying so hard to make myself like this movie. As a kid.
That's an insane thought.
As a kid, that's an insane thought. And I remember that. But I did. I was convincing myself that I really, really enjoyed this movie. I think I did a pretty good job. And so I remember watching it and thinking, just getting really excited every time I saw something that was from the video game, you know? Oh, that's a bomb. Oh, cool.
Oh, it's one of those bullets with the faces.
Oh, cool. See? You can see he's a plumber because of all the plungers. Ah. That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I thought it was just the coolest thing that could ever have been done. I was like, oh, yeah, that's Toad. Duh. Duh.
Not duh.
Not duh. But as a kid, I wanted this to be the greatest thing ever, and I kind of convinced myself of it. So I will tell you, I'm going to give this an 8.6.
Damn.
Yeah.
And it's okay, because as a kid, you're just a fucking idiot.
I was just an absolute dumbass.
You have no idea what you're talking about. No taste.
Correct.
Yeah.
What about you, Sean?
Nope.
You haven't seen it?
Go ahead.
Dang.
Funny story. I also have not seen this movie.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
And here's why. I attest this to much like the Moon Shoes story that I told.
Yeah.
Where like remember
they're featured in this movie.
The Moon Shoes came out and everybody wanted them so bad. Much like people wanted to watch this movie so bad. Super Mario. I loved the Nintendo game. And unfortunately this kid buys the Moon Shoes first and we find out they suck, so none of us buy them. I got lucky. One of my neighbors went and saw this movie because we were talking about it for ages. Going, he went and saw it and goes, bro, that was the worst thing I've ever seen. And so I went, well, okay, cool. Then I don't have to see it. So I chose never to watch this movie on purpose. Full well knowing I love Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Loved them on Nintendo, but I also chose to not watch this movie.
You know, like we don't like the gatekeeping of movies. Like, you haven't seen Ace Ventura? Like, wow, you're not a person if you haven't seen this movie. We aren't really like that. But if we were, this would probably be one of the first times where, AJ, that you've seen it, I feel bad for you. I feel bad. I feel double bad
because he saw it and was like, no, it's really good.
Yeah.
Luckily, I didn't have a friend like AJ because I would have gone and see this if he was like, no, it's cool. They got bops.
Thank God I didn't have some delusional idiot friend like AJ. To come through and say, you should see it, man. I think
you
it
gotta
should
be, see this.
It
dude.
Should be great.
I feel like you.
There's ba-bombs and there's mushrooms.
Oh, there's ba-bombs?
I feel like if you explain to someone why you like this movie, you're only explaining it to them while there's a tear in your eye.
Yeah, you're like I'm putting on clown makeup. While explaining why this is a great movie.
Is that mean?
Yeah.
No, but it's got ba-bombs in it. Oh, but they get in their signature red-green suits.
You really
Princess.
It's
good
I'm,
movie.
I'm that guy talking to that girl at the party. No, you, like, that's the thing. It's like, no, you got to see this movie, bro, because it's so good. They have ba-bombs in it, and then they even make deeper references.
That's all it is ba-bombs.
They make deep. There's a Bullet Bill.
We got an executive producer on this episode. David Gould is stepping up to the plate to review this for us. He says, as an 80s baby and a child of pop culture, few things captured my dwindling attention span more than Super Mario Bros., especially Mario 6 Golden Coins.
Okay, so you're talking about the games.
Yes, that's what he's talking about. Yeah. So when there was news of a Super Mario Brothers movie, I was ecstatic at the thought of seeing my favorite characters come to life in 3D. Not being in the streaming area, I was forced to wait patiently to see this movie come across my basic channel guide. Then one day, after a grueling 3-hour homeschool day, I had my chance. Flipping to TNT, all my dreams were coming true as the title card flashed on the screen. And to say the least, I was disappointed. This was not my Mario, my Luigi, or even my Bowser. I truly believe that everyone has a movie that transforms you from a movie watcher to a cinema critic, and Super Mario Brothers was that film for me.
Oh.
My nostalgic rating would have to be a 2.5.
Wow.
Nostalgically, between AJ's just lying to himself and David Gould being serious, is a 5.5, which, oh, wow. So 5.5, it takes us to the bottom 10 of our nostalgic ratings that is just below Bill and Ted's. Surprisingly, we did not like Bill and Ted's too much as kids. And just above Tremors is where this places it nostalgically.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I feel like that this had a lot of potential, just like Tremors. And
Bill and Ted's.
Like, and Tremors exceeded, and so did Bill and Ted. But
both of those went up considerably.
This one just...
Nope. Hey, well, we don't know. Well, let's get to it.
I feel like those, like what I'm saying is those movies are closely related.
Okay.
Except it just doesn't have any engine to it, which we'll get to. We'll get there.
Well, we're going to strip away that nostalgia. First, we got to talk about all the pertinent, important details of the movie. Sean, what you got, man?
Produced by Roland Joffe, or Joff, and Jack Eberts. Written by Parker Bennett, Terry Runty, and Ed Solomon. Credited. That'll change later. Cinematography by Dean Semler. Music by Alan Silvestri. Edited by Mark Goldblatt. Directed by Annabelle Jankel and Rocky Morton.
No.
Cast: Bob Hoskins, John Leguizamo, Dennis Hopper, Samantha Mathis, Fisher Stevens, Richard Edson, Fiona Shaw, and Lance Henriksen, barely. After securing the temporary rights to the Mario brand from Nintendo themselves, producer Roland Joffe pitched the idea of a Mario movie to several production houses and writers. After the idea for the movie went through too many writers to even name, the film was eventually a combination of 4 different scripts. More on that later. Harold Ramis was almost hired as director, but turned it down to do Groundhog Day instead. After all was said and done, Ramis recalled that as one of the best decisions of his career. Eventually, directing duties went to husband and wife duo Rocky Morton and Annabelle Jankel, who were known as the creators of Max Headroom. You guys know Max Headroom?
I've heard it, but never saw it.
Yeah. I mean, know of it. I know they did like references in like Back to the Future 2 or something, and that's about it. Yeah.
I was weirdly kind of obsessed with Max Headroom, even though it wasn't really my time. I went back and like my mom showed me episodes and stuff and weirdly obsessed with it. I don't know why. Arnold Schwarzenegger and Michael Keaton were originally vetted to play King Koopa, but both turned it down. Dustin Hoffman was interested in the movie, and Danny DeVito was close to the part of Mario. Tom Hanks was offered the part of a Luigi, but he said, "Nah, I'm Tom Hanks."
Nah.
That's actually not what I heard.
That's
no. He was coming off of like kind of stupid movies that he thought that didn't do very well.
Well, he had like The Burbs. There's
Turner and Hooch.
Turner and Hooch didn't do very well.
Mountain or whatever.
Joe versus the volcano. Yeah, he was coming off of those, which were kind of duds, and they thought that they could get him, but he was smart.
Maybe I'm hearing different information. I heard that he was thought for the movie, but that the directors were like, he's not a big draw anymore. He doesn't know what he's doing. So they passed on Tom Hanks.
Right.
What did Tom Hanks do the following year? Won an Oscar for Forrest Gump.
Super weird.
There you
go. Super weird.
Well, good on him then.
I truthfully believe he would not have won an Oscar for Forrest Gump had he taken the role in this movie.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah, I don't know. Time will tell. And it did.
No, it's already happened, Sean.
Time did tell, and you're right.
Directing duo Jankel and Morton. I just love saying that.
Yeah, Jankel and Morton.
Said that they came from the Tim Burton school of filmmaking and wanted to make the picture darker in tone than the games, citing Batman or TMNT.
Tim Burton's got a school?
No. They just they were fans of his and fans of what he did with Batman and fans of what the people did with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Cool.
It's kind of got that darker kind of New York tone, steam coming out everywhere. They really wanted that for a Mario Brothers movie.
Yeah, of course.
Weeks before shooting was to commence, Disney swooped in and purchased the distribution rights for the film and demanded a lot of changes to the script, which angered the directors and almost caused them to leave the project. Disney took the film in a more family-friendly route where the directors were shooting scenes with strippers.
Hmm. Well.
Tight.
I mean. Okay.
Yeah. No, it gets worse. It gets way worse. Filming began on May 6, 1992, and was not a great time for cast and crew. Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo would both regularly get drunk on the set, leading to Hoskins getting injured when in a scene where the brothers are driving their plumbing truck, Leguizamo hit the gas a little too hard, causing the door of the truck to slide and break Hoskins' finger.
Yeah.
Oh, I just can feel that right now.
I know.
Leguizamo would get a taste of his own medicine when he would be hit by a car on set, breaking his leg. And so both had to be like covered up by makeup and just like other clothing.
I didn't know he broke his leg on there.
Nobody respected the directors, and actors would just improvise their own lines in some scenes. So they would give like extremely unclear directions to their cast and crew. So like Morton and Jankel, Morton would give one direction to somebody and then Jankel would get completely different.
Good cop, bad cop.
Exactly. But they wouldn't, if you're a directing duo, you want to be Daniels.
It's like they never communicated with each other before they decided to say something.
I heard they like got divorced in the middle of the movie.
I mean,
too.
It makes total sense.
Like, what a nightmare.
It is almost a product of like a marriage gone wrong watching this movie, which is just like there's so many tones. We'll get to it. There's so many tones that just do not work and are trying to clash with one another.
Yeah.
Where was I? Nobody respected them. Hopper got so mad at the
director sucked.
Hopper got so mad at the directors one day, causing him to storm off the set, which prompted the directors to go after him in an attempt to calm him down, leaving almost 300 extras wondering what to do for almost 3 hours. The film was shot in an abandoned cement factory for most of the Dino Hatton scenes, which is also where TMNT shot for the Rad as Hell Foot Clan hangout in Top Dollar's nightclub in The Crow.
This is what we do! Do it!
Do it!
We did not plan that.
I fucking go back and listen to TMNT, and you will see how dope the Foot Clan is.
Oh, man. God.
Super Mario Brothers was released on May 28, 1993, and on a budget of somewhere between $42 and $48 million, the film only made $38.9 million at the box office. Didn't even get his budget back.
I'm surprised it made that much.
Well, keep in mind, so this movie was released on the exact same day that Cliffhanger came out in theaters, Stallone being huge at the time, and then 2 weeks later, Jurassic Park comes out. This movie stood no chance. Movie was great, this would have been like a Boondock Saints situation where it got buried and then it became like it, on VHS sales went nuts, and that still never happened. So
yeah.
Well, you guys know this podcast and you know that we need your help. We're just three dudes trying to put out weekly content for you to listen to, but it's a crazy world out there. There are gazillions of podcasts that you can choose from. If there's a gazillion total podcasts, there's 1 million total podcasts that do the exact same thing that we do.
Yep.
And so we love you guys so much for supporting this, but we need your help on two things. We're going to pick a different thing to tell you every episode. What you can do while listening to this episode is to like us on social media. Oh. Follow our Instagram, follow our TikTok, follow our Facebook. Twitter, we don't do anything there, but follow us there if you want to. That's super important for us to keep growing the brand. You can share our cool memes and our cool videos. That would mean the world to us. It's free and it's fun content. And number two, as always, check us out on Patreon. That is the best way you can support this podcast. You get access to bonus audio content every single week. And if you sign up right now, like, you got access to it all.
Yeah.
And there's crazy amounts of backlog you can listen to. You can vote on upcoming movies. You can join our private Discord server. We're going to start watching movies live on Discord with you guys and interacting with you.
It's going to be super fun.
It's going to be badass, and we really want you to check it out at patreon.com/confusedbreakfast. Up next, AJ does the research for us, tells us the ratings and reviews from fans and critics alike. What do you got, man?
It's going to be red or it's going to be green. Is it Luigi? Is it Mario? What are we thinking here, guys? I'm sure none of us know. It's the tomato meter. Gross. Correct,
yeah?
Sean.
Okay.
29% splat green on the tomato meter.
From all the movies we have done, that is 10th from the bottom as far as the critics are concerned. That is tied with Airheads, Hook, and Heavyweights. Doesn't feel right, does it?
Airheads, Hook, and Heavyweights.
The critics think that Super Mario Brothers is the same as Airheads, Hook, and Heavyweights.
I could follow all of those three movies.
I could follow all of them.
Followed those, yeah.
Yeah. Audiences 100% agree at 29% is the correct score.
100% agree at 29%.
Yes. Yes. Over 100,000 people agree that this is a 29%.
100% of the time, I agree that it is 29%.
It works all the time. 4.1 on IMDb.
Any guesses at what that ranking is? On any movie we've done, IMDb, where's 4.1 fall?
I've got to think it's like bottom 10.
Bottom 10?
I'm going to say it's near Blank Check.
Well, you're correct. No, you're not. Because
cool.
This is so dead last. This is the absolute worst IMDb score of any movie that we have done.
Wow.
Really?
Biodome was a 4.3. Three Ninjas was a 5.3.
And Biodome's in jail.
Yeah. This is a 4.1.
Wow.
Fan voted.
Well,
if this could have been a, should we sentence this movie or not?
Right.
This could have been.
Well, what you need for that is for one of us to love the movie.
That's true. That's a good point. That's very true.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, apparently, maybe my childhood self needed to be paid off.
No, it's really good.
Guys, it's good. They've got babams.
They're plumbers.
No, did you see the boots? All right, so we had some critics who were paid off to write a good review on this. Daily News, Mary Flannery gave it an 88 out of 100.
Nuh-uh.
Even moviegoers who don't own Nintendo will thoroughly enjoy these superheroes. And chances are, this is only the beginning of their film exploits.
No, I really liked it. I don't even own Nintendo.
What's a Tendo?
Mary Flannery did not own a Nintendo. You can tell from her review because she called them superheroes.
And she called it Nintendo.
Hal Hinson, although we've heard from Hal before, he gave it an 80 out of 100.
Jesus.
The Washington Post. He said, who would have thought that Super Mario Bros., the movie based on popular video game, could be such a treat? There are some, I'm sure, who saw the end of civilization here, but relax. This movie, which was directed by music video whiz kids Rocky Morton and Annabelle Jankel, is sweet and funny and full of bright invention. In short, it's a blast.
Cool, man.
That's great, Hal.
Like, okay, right? So I say this a lot.
Right, guys?
I say this a lot, and I think it's the antithesis of our show where, like, we don't judge you if you love movies like this. In fact, it makes me like it more if it is your favorite movie. But, bro, dude.
Hal Hinson, let's think of it this way. He didn't get paid off to write that review, but he probably shed a tear or two when he cashed his check that week. He's like, I don't know why I did that. 10 out of 100. There are plenty of gags, but not one laugh in the whole farrago. There's nothing original about Mario, and the absence of tension or an interesting narrative makes it tedious in the extreme.
Okay.
Accurate.
Okay.
Guys, I don't know if you remember our good friend Eric D. Snyder, but he did have
Eric's bad movies. Haven't talked about Eric's bad movie reviews.
Eric did have something to say in 2008 about this movie.
Beautiful.
And let me see. I want to find the right place to start here. Okay. I'm just going to take some excerpts. Every time Hollywood makes a new film based on a video game, i.e. every 2 weeks, I pause for a moment and reflect on the history of this misbegotten genre. All the entries so far have been lousy, including the one that everyone always says is the best one, Resident Evil.
Okay.
But how did it begin? How did a seemingly fruitful source of movie inspiration turn so toxic? To answer that question, we must look at the very first movie adaptation of the video game, 1993's Super Mario Brothers. And here we see right from the beginning, this genre sucked. Here was a colorful, mischievous game full of whimsical characters and entertaining situations, and the Hollywood stink factory managed to take all of the fun out of it. Nintendo gave them a good opportunity, and they whizzed it right down the old pant leg. This is where it kind of ends it. The movie bears so little resemblance to the video game that I'm tempted to think their matching titles is simply a coincidence. What? The executives at Buena Vista Pictures must have exclaimed, "There's a video game called Super Mario Brothers too?" Huh? What? Weird. What?
The characters are Mario and Luigi?
Huh? Is the game about a cruel reptilian dictator who hates mammals even though he looks like one himself and who also hates evolution and wants to merge two dimensions and rule the world? No? Then we're safe. Tell the lawyers to stand down. He did not like this movie.
I love Eric.
I know.
Call us.
Call us, please. We would just love that if you could. I only looked at the good reviews from watchers, moviegoers.
Good for you.
And I there were so many of them, but I'll just give you, I'll just find one here. Well, I'll give you two. Here's a short one. 10 out of 10. Jeez, it's not that bad.
Come on, guys.
Said Thanos 6 in 1999. I'll admit that Super Mario Brothers, the movie, could have been better. That said, it could have been a lot worse. I personally liked it myself. Yeah, it should have been animated. And yes, Bowser Koopa should have been his fire-breathing turtle self. But overall, it was pretty good. He gave that 10 out of 10.
I personally liked it myself. Me, I did.
Yeah. I personally really liked it.
It's pretty good.
Myself.
I don't know why you guys thought it was bad. Perfect rating. Okay.
he said it could have been better, but it couldn't have been worse.
Yeah.
But yet gave it a perfect score.
But it's a perfect score.
Okay, gotcha. Duh. Just checking.
This is a 10 out of 10. The haters are wrong. Okay. Warning, spoilers.
Oh, no.
I have analyzed this move. Yes. For a long time, and the only argument people put up when I bring up this movie being a masterpiece is that the CGI looks bad and that it does not, that it does, but for its time, it's above standard for the time. The actors that play Mario, the Luigi, are perfect for their roles. They have the iconic accent you see the Mario Brothers have in the video game.
Because they talk this in the movie.
It just says, it's a me.
This movie.
That's it.
This move reveals their troublesome backstory of being two plumbers in the Bronx. They encounter thugs throughout the movie and starts a huge gang war inside the sewers, beautifully crafted. 9.5 out of 10.
Is he saying move like bros? Like,
I think he's abbreviating. I think.
.mov. Yeah.
I think autocorrect didn't correct move to movie or vice versa. So that's what he had to say about it.
Okay,
though.
Awesome.
And yeah, and by the way, there were spoilers in there, in that rambling, incoherent, nonsensical, run-on sentence. That was, yeah, he ruined the movie for us about the CGI and the gang war.
And the gang wars in the sewers.
And the sewer gang wars.
Oh, you're right. I forgot about that part.
I don't even remember.
He's like,
that.
It's basically Demolition Man. That's basically what he said.
Gangs in New York.
Gangs in New York. Yes, exactly. Well, Leo DiCaprio.
Well, before we dissect this scene by scene, we got to talk about our amazing sponsor, Cedar Ridge Whiskey. We've been talking about them for so long that we finally got them to do something cool with us.
Finally.
Yeah. They're finally like, why are you guys talking about us in every episode?
Yeah.
If you've seen our Instagram lately, we are going to have a hand-selected single barrel confused breakfast whiskey from Cedar Ridge. We were out there a couple weeks ago. We picked our barrel. It is unbelievable.
We're not
going to divulge any information yet. But what we want from you is that there's only going to be about 200 bottles. It's going to go real fast, and it's going to get shipped directly to your door if you're in about one of the 40 states that they can ship to. So go to the link real quick in the notes of this episode. Click on our mailing list, because if you want your hands on this, you have to go sign up, or else there's no chance you're going to get one of these bottles. We promise it's amazing because it comes from the best whiskey company in the entire world, Cedar Ridge Whiskey. You have to check them out. Wait for our barrel. Go online right now, cedarridgewhiskey.com. Buy one of their barrels. Get the American Bourbon. Get the American Quintessential Single Malt. Get the collaboration with Slipknot.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Check it out. You go to your local distributor, talk to them about some whiskey, or order it straight to your door. You have to do it.
And right. That comes from the crew you can trust. Obviously, we drink maybe too much of this, and so we know what it tastes like.
We know
we like it. And when we picked our barrel, it's the best we've ever had.
Yes.
So
the best I ever had.
CedarRidgeWhiskey.com.
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 Well, boys, we have license to make a movie about a video game series that has sold more than 300 million copies, grossing more than $20 billion worldwide. It's beloved by so many, and the name alone will help our movie out. Let's take all of that and throw it in the fucking trash and make the worst possible movie we can. Glug, 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 glug. Here we go.
God.
So we learn about a meteorite that kills the dinosaurs and splits the universe into two parallel dimensions.
Oh, yeah.
Near sure. The present day, a mysterious woman leaves a large egg at a Catholic orphanage, and then she is captured by King Koopa. A few years pass, and we meet the plumbers Mario and Luigi. On a job, they meet Daisy, an NYU student digging under the Brooklyn Bridge for dinosaur bones. Luigi falls head over heels in love with the girl and asks her on a date.
Oh, yeah.
How about these graphics?
They came on the screen, Mike, and I was like, oh. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. This is going to be a long haul.
The video game itself from 1985,
looks
8-bit,
better.
Looks better than whatever they just did there.
Yeah.
And it's so confusing. I don't understand why they even had to have this.
And dinosaurs, when they're from Brooklyn, talk like they're from Brooklyn.
Right.
And because everyone knows dinosaurs they lived where Brooklyn was.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone knows that.
So let me take this back for just a second here, guys.
Now, 65 million years.
I know I'm going to. Well, kind of.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you to do something that I know is very, very difficult. Okay. I want you to take out of your brain that we're talking about this movie, not anything to do. And when we get a similar setup, okay.
Okay.
I'm going to give you guys a movie premise. I just, like I say, no preface to this. I have an idea for a movie, guys. I really think it would be cool if we talk about how the dinosaurs became extinct, right? Meteorite hit 65 million years ago,
sounds
right?
That's cool, yeah.
But what if that meteorite actually split the dimension of the world and those dinosaurs never actually were extinct? They were put into another dimension separate from what we are.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they also evolved just like we did, according to science.
Yeah.
Right? And this other place is very similar to our own, actually, and they've become like these like humanoids. And it turns out that there is one of them that has discovered this, and it's his intention is to take over those both worlds, to merge these worlds back together. Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
sounds cool.
I think it'd be really cool. I think we get some really great stars.
Yeah.
And I think we could probably, you know, work on the story a little bit and maybe, you know, bring it together.
Arnold Schwarzenegger comes to mind.
Yeah.
Just for some reason. Stallone or something.
I have a
yeah.
Stallone idea, you know, for vibe for this. I'd love to get some quirky comic relief in there. But yeah, I think this could be a really great movie, guys.
That sounds great. "Hey, I'm Charles. I have the rights to Super Mario Brothers. How about we just merge these dimensions and call it Super Mario Bros.?"
Well, do you mean the video game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Charles?
I'm Charles.
Charles.
I don't know.
Like,
man.
That's the thing. It's like you know what? Actually is kind of like a, it's kind of, there's a cool concept behind this.
You're not wrong at all.
Okay? Well, I do think that there's a cool concept behind here, but right? But then they're just like, I bet the fucking Super Mario Brothers could be perfect for this.
Yeah.
I don't know. Even the concept still falls flat to me because, like, the whole, like, why does it have to just be dinosaurs? And, like, you know, that whole inclusion of dinosaurs is where this movie immediately is, like, off the fucking rails.
It's true.
What the fuck did dinosaurs have to do with Super Mario Brothers?
Correct.
They kind of looked like it. They're maybe reptilian a little bit.
I think there was, like, one world that in, like, some later on stage of Super Mario Brothers games where there was, like, a dinosaur world.
Dino-head.
Otherwise, they're all, like, fucking toads and shit. And
exactly.
Like, turtles and...
And that's why I say, think about this not in Super Mario Brothers.
You're right.
Think of it just like just another movie. Another movie pitch, and it's not plumbers or anything like that. It's just there's another world that's kind of like the dystopian Back to the Future in number two.
Yeah,
like,
alternate universe.
There's some solid ground to be worked on here. And then we just vomit Mario Brother culture that and pick out the remnants of whatever we ate the day before, and that's what we put on this fucking movie.
See, that's the thing, man. This movie right off the bat is like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are, like, you're this, and then you're a New York movie, and then your movie about brothers who are plumbers. Mm-hmm. It is like 90 scripts.
Yeah.
All put together and be like, let's just do it.
I don't know.
That was one of the big things that they talked about. So there's actually there's a great little small, like, 15-minute doc on this movie from, I believe it's called the Video Game Library. And he goes through and he talks about that a lot. And he literally says during, like, filming, not even counting how many times this was rewritten ahead of time before mm-hmm. they even started production. This was rewritten almost every single day, every other day on set, that Dennis Hopper, Bob Hoskins, everybody stopped reading the script.
Yeah.
And they would just show up.
Whatever.
They're
Tell
like,
me
doesn't
what,
fucking
what
matter at
today?
This point. Yeah.
They
doesn't
even
matter.
Said, they even, I mean, they people hated this movie so much. I mean, you don't hear. A lot of times, you know, when you'll have like somebody be on a talk show and they'll be like, "Tell us the worst movie ever made." They're like, "I'm not going to tell you what movie." It was bad.
It was tough one. And
this every actor is like outright going, "That was a shit show, and I fucking hate it."
And you never hear that. Really,
you never hear that.
Never hear anybody really talking shit about anything they've done in their career.
You talked about that Dennis Hopper thing. He was supposed to be on set for 5 weeks. He was on set for 17 weeks to make a movie he could care less about.
Yeah.
That he's like, well, we're here. Like, we got to get this shit done. You can imagine what that this is Dennis Hopper.
Yeah.
And this is probably the worst. I hate him in this movie. He's terrible in this movie.
It's
because he's just like, I don't care.
Yeah.
It's like you can tell he's trying to dedicate anything he can to this character and try to make it like unique, and like he's like, oh cool, so like I'm like technically Koopa was like a big turtle, right? It's like, no, he's a Tyrannosaurus Rex now.
Oh,
okay. Well, then I'll do like some Tyrannosaurus Rex like kind of, you know, features or movements. I'll keep my arms up kind of tight or something like that. And it's like, yeah, you can do whatever the fuck you want, Dennis. Just, you know,
just read the lines.
Just read our lines that we wrote today. Okay, that's all we fucking need you
to
do.
Did you read the second revision from today? Or
yeah.
Which one's
See, that's
going
the thing
on?
With the cast in general, I think, because I think Dennis Hopper is, like, good for this role, theoretically. You know, like, he's a good bad guy. Like, I like him in Speed. You know, I like him in most every movie. Fucking Waterworld.
Waterworld,
you know?
Yeah.
I think he's playing pretty much the same character.
Yeah.
But there's no substance to it. That's the thing, is like they are good performers. And I even think Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo is almost perfect casting at this time.
I think they're
for
doing
a Mario and Luigi.
I don't know who's better.
I really don't.
Danny DeVito might be kind of cool.
Yeah. Sure, right? But like, that, in all honesty, there are moments of this that I'm like, I like their performances.
They're
even
great
at
together.
Times. And I think they bounce off each other well. I'm just like, man, oh man. I enjoy those aspects, and then you just get, unfortunately, pulled right back in to the story.
Yeah, and they are trying their hardest, and I really want to commend all of the actors in this, because getting new scripts every day must be a goddamn nightmare. And to try and keep
an actor,
and trying to keep a tone. There's no tone to keep if you keep changing it up, correct. You know, especially if you're getting directions from one director and the opposite from another.
Yeah.
How do you do that? And they're just like, well, we'll just do our own thing.
Yeah.
We'll just get fucking hammered every night and play the fucking
set.
Movie.
They're taking shots of scotch.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, here's a prop.
No, I don't want the scotch. I want in my house so that my wife will hate me forever. I want a rack of plungers.
Yeah.
Disgusting, non-clean, different size. There's a different size plunger for a lot of different jobs.
That's right.
That's true.
And I want the three that Mario has in his room. I want them on my on my wall.
Respect.
Yeah.
Respect.
I want the Babam. I want the little Babam guy.
With the Reebok shoes?
Yeah. That's so fucking
dude,
awesome.
Is that... Remind us to talk about this.
Sorry. Remind us, listeners.
Please.
Comment.
Comment, like.
Guys, throw your comments down below right now so you can make sure to remind us about Reebok.
Make sure you hit the bell.
Okay.
So,
Mike, did you just change the script on us?
Yeah.
Did I?
No, I'm just kidding.
I want...
Oh, you guys saw we were doing Super Mario Bros.? It's Street Fighter.
Oh, oh good. Thank goodness.
Same notes.
Thank God. Yeah, it's the same notes. No, I want the... I want the boots. I want the jump boots.
The moon shoes.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's what I want.
When we're talking about the setup of this movie and how they're plumbers and like it's like okay, they're plumbers.
Before we get there, can I just say one thing? The whole like it's 65 million years ago, and then it says 20 years ago. On top of like that, it's just like so. Is it 65 million? Is it 20 years ago from the 65? million years ago, or I guess I'm just gonna have to put this together in my own head. But
20.
Then none of this makes sense. Yeah. I'm gonna drop an egg off to this monastery, and then go in this dark alley, and Dennis Hopper, our villain, is gonna be there with decorated general suit on for no fucking reason.
Which is never once talked about or ever mentioned
again. And then the walls fall down. I'm like, well, I guess that takes care of that.
Cool, we don't have to worry about that anymore.
Is that what's going on? I don't know what's going on.
There's nothing.
And then we get Mario and Luigi, and we're saved a little bit.
It's just funny to me, this world that they live in where, let's say AJ's hanging out at his house, and he's got a leak, a plumbing leak, you know, and he's like, shit, I can't fix this myself. I need a plumber. Where he makes a phone call that basically just alerts all plumbers to and gives them the address, and they all go there, and the first one there gets the job.
Chaos.
What fucking world is this?
What is this world that we live in?
I hate it. I don't want that world.
Think if that happens for, like, electricians. What if it happened for realtors, Mike?
It'd be terrible.
You'd be like, oh, my God.
and even their, like, banter doesn't make any sense. Mario goes, take a left. And instead of taking a left, Luigi takes a right. He's like, I got a feeling about this. They're like, no.
Fuck is that
the
supposed
address
to mean?
Is right, the address is literally to the left.
I literally map quested it.
That's the street. Take a left. He takes a right, and then a left, and arrives where they're supposed to arrive.
Nope.
Right.
The right, left.
So it was around. It was down the street.
It was down. It was four blocks the opposite direction of where Mario thought it was.
That's upsetting.
They could have walked without taking the right instead of taking the left.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
This would have been a lot easier.
There's another issue with this world. You know, Daisy needs a payphone.
She walks 10 miles.
Maybe 10 miles away just to find the payphone. Yeah. That's the one payphone in town.
Yeah.
Confusing.
And all of Manhattan. Were they just all busy with just like people who are jerks? But then she finds Luigi, the one nice guy in town. I don't get it.
I really do. Like, there's one moment I liked a lot where Luigi's on the phone first, and he's like, "Oh, call and see if we got any messages. See if we got any jobs." And he calls, and there's like someone screaming, "Like, we need all plumbers down here right now!"
See,
and he's like,
"I told you."
Shit. I'm like, "That was kind of good."
It's the dispatcher that says, "Every plumber ever, come down."
I like that kind of subtle joke in there. That was kind of fun.
We're good. We're good.
Yeah, we're all right.
I like the woman who plays Daisy a lot,
Samantha Mathis.
I think she's really good. I know her and John Leguizamo had a thing after this. I think they're married for like 2 years after this or something.
Samantha Mathis has been in a movie we've done. Do you know what it is? girl that plays Daisy, she was Courtney Rawlinson in American Psycho. She was the one.
Yeah.
She was
yeah,
the buddy's yeah. girlfriend that he
it was his fiance.
With.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She was.
Well, rock and roll.
Not really a well-known name, but like still acting, doing a lot of stuff.
She's beautiful.
I thought she was beautiful. I thought she was great in this movie. She might have been one of the only people I actually believed their character for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you. And then you get we better have the like construction tyrant come down. Scarpelli.
Gotta have him come down.
Like, okay.
Why?
That's it.
There's no why? Rhyme or reason of why he doesn't want them there.
I need my guys need to be building. It's like, well, your building's over there. We're just digging right here. What the hell is going on? I don't understand it at all, guys.
Nope. So there was a version of the script that somebody wrote. I forget his name, like Rick Morrow or something, who was an Oscar winning screenwriter. He wrote a like dead ass serious. I think he wrote Rain Man actually.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
He wrote a dead ass serious version of this. And I think a lot of that was taken from it. Like, the Scapelli Corporation was supposed to be, like, the kind of baddie villain in this.
I see.
And it's like, why are you... So we're going to just keep that element in it, but then totally fucking... It's every aspect of this. Every plot line that gets brought up, except for the necklace and Daisy.
Yeah.
Are useless.
It's really the only constant throughout this whole thing. It, like, it doesn't... You can tell. Like, it's... I don't know if I've ever seen a movie that's so apparent that it was rewritten so many times.
Yeah.
Because it was rewritten by several different people. I was 5, 6, 7 times
yeah.
before it actually went to production.
And then bought by Disney yeah. right before production.
Correct.
And so many changes were made.
And they said, you have to change this.
Yeah.
Help me out real quick. When so Daisy was the human in the egg, correct?
Yeah, I guess yes. so.
And at any point, do you ever see this piece of meteorite? The necklace? Like, is that, dude, is the first time
yeah, she puts it on the thing.
Okay.
It's, yeah.
So you're
it's
telling
on the
me.
Incubator thing.
You're telling me that these nuns who don't believe in evolution just saw a baby, get hatched from an egg. No concern whatsoever. Said, well, we're going to take this baby. Oh, and this little piece of rock, I'm sure that she's going to want this on a necklace when she's 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to keep this little piece and we're just going to. Make a necklace out of it, and we're just someday we're gonna get instead of giving her a holy crucifix, we're gonna give her a piece of meteorite.
Yep,
because we think that's gonna be important to the plot later on.
Yes, we have this very mechanical, almost futuristic incubator that showed up with an egg inside that hatched a baby,
proving that evolution is real.
And now we've committed our lives to this.
You could even argue that amphibians. Or like snake-like creatures are like a prominent representation of the devil in Christianity. And so coming from an egg, they might even just like throw it away and be like, oh, that's obviously the devil.
And do you know how many fucking necklaces I bought in my life between age 0 and 20 and that I lost? How does she still have this fucking necklace?
She still have it.
It's the only thing I have from when I was an orphan.
Do you know how many pairs of puka shell necklaces I bought in college that I lost?
There's so many.
How does she still have this?
They've grown their bodies back and crawled away.
Yeah,
all those puka shells.
All those puka shells.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. My friends, lately social media has been getting me down. You're seeing all these other people succeeding and at their best. Makes me feel not good enough. Seeing negative comments online about things I dedicate my whole life force to, like Vin Diesel content on TikTok. It kills me when people are yelling at me. I know social media is not good for me, but I keep punishing myself with it. Whenever I fall in a kind of funk like this, I make an appointment to go back to my therapist immediately. Learning things like comparison is the thief of joy, or talking it out as to why I'm so compelled to pick up my phone every 30 seconds in hopes of seeing some red notification bubbles. It's crazy, but these are things that I need help with, and using therapy deepens my self-awareness and understanding. We don't know what we truly want or why we react the way we do until we talk things through. If this sounds like something you want, BetterHelp is here for you. They connect you with a licensed therapist who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time if you don't like them. No additional charge. Visit BetterHelp.com/confusedbreakfast today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/confusedbreakfast. Thanks so much to this great company for sponsoring us. If you want to help yourself and support this podcast, check BetterHelp out today. Link in the show notes. Now let's go back to this movie that really sucks, because we're going to need therapy after this.
Oh, come on now. Yeah.
Scene two, guys. That night they go on a double date and visit the dig site after. There they find two of Scapelli's men opening up some water pipes, sabotaging the site. Luigi and Daisy grab Mario to help fix the leak. Iggy and Spike show up and kidnap Daisy. The boys follow them into an interdimensional portal into Dino Hatton.
Speaking of Daisy and Luigi, I really, for some reason, it works for me. I like their chemistry a lot, and I think they're great on screen. And it gives Luigi a a purpose to try and go to this dimension to save her.
We do need that, don't we?
I guess we do need that, but in any other movie, maybe we probably wouldn't. I wouldn't probably need like any romantic connection, but I do like that about it.
You got to have some reason to chase her down the rabbit hole, if you will. Yeah. Like, I guess, but at the same
gotta
time,
gotta get a dick wet.
You're right. Absolutely, he's a plumber.
thank you.
And that's it for us today, guys. Yeah, we finally got to the joke we've been waiting for.
He's an Italian plumber. He's got to get his noodle wet, okay?
Oh my God.
So
I want to learn more. I don't even want to know about Daisy and Luigi. I want to know more about Mario's fucking skill with women.
Yeah.
Because we learned in this whole movie, but his date?
Even though he looks kind of like a kind of a skeezy landlord standing behind Luigi the whole time. He's like, hey, you know, that's good to
date. Tomorrow's the first.
You want to come out to dinner? We have some pasta. That's kind of what's going on here. I'm just not a fan of it. But at the same time, he's got some serious pull.
He's got game.
Especially like this Daniela, which Peach doesn't exist.
Nope.
In this world, hey, what about Princess Peach? You mean Daniela? Nope, that's not what we mean.
Daisy, is there ever a Princess Daisy in the things?
Later on in some of the video games, I remember seeing Daisy, and now, she's in Mario Kart and stuff like that later on too.
But now, isn't Mario's technically like the main character of Mario Brothers?
Correct.
And Mario's the one trying to save princesses, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So let's make it Luigi this time.
I think
let's make
so.
It Luigi in this game.
And even when they're not, when they don't have their attire on later, which is like the iconic attire, the red sort and of. Green, they're wearing like opposite colors.
Yeah.
Like Bob Hoskins.
Until they get there.
Mario's wearing like mostly green.
Yeah.
And then Luigi is wearing like a red hoodie all the time.
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on?
Exactly. There's zero continuity. Like there's no, we don't want to be too referential to the source content. What?
Yeah, I mean, like,
call it something else then.
Yeah. I'll say it right now. Like, I appreciate an adaptation of something.
Yeah.
Being like, take your creative liberties, you know, do something different. Do like a weird kind of take on this iconic IP. I like that about this movie, along with like one other thing, and that's it. But. Yeah. I will give it praise for that. You know, just like it took something and it fucking ran with it. You know,
yeah.
But because trying to compare it to like the original IP, I feel is like okay, but like it's its own thing. It's a movie, not the game. But still, you probably would have been better suited to follow the kind of effects and attributes of the game rather than your six stories that you had crammed into one.
Yeah. There's a difference between like, we're going to make some references here and there to like, hey, like why not have some plot points that are based on the video game and then go from there, you know? And nobody you have seven different people rewriting this. You have about eight or nine different people doing seven rewrites, and it just becomes an incoherent mess, and that's all we get.
Let's call him Lario and Muigi.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you think that's cool?
I think
but yeah, I'm down.
It's just such a terrible idea to make this into the audience for this is kids. Why do we want to make this into an adult movie? You know, like it'd be like making a Sesame Street movie that's like R rated and a horror film that kids can't watch.
The SNL with what's his name from Stranger Things?
Oh, dude, when Oscar. that Mario Kart with Pedro Pascal.
Was
fucking amazing. Amazing. If you have not seen that, Mike, you need to go watch that. Oh my God, it's great.
And it's just so funny to me that they're in this tunnel, Daisy and Luigi are, and they're like, oh no, who are these guys that are damaged, that are in our dig site illegally after hours causing havoc? Oh, it's easy to know who they are because they're wearing Scapelli jackets with logos on them.
They're wearing jumpsuits that say Scarpelli on the back.
Yeah, because, you know, just, hey, when you go down there, when you break all those pipes, make sure you're wearing Scarpelli gear.
Make sure they know that Scarpelli was there.
Yeah, make sure they know it.
You got the stuff? Make sure you tag everything in sight. I want everyone to know that the Warriors Scarpelli were there. Like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? Like, yeah, like, don't be discreet. And by the way, don't wear black. Wear white. Because we want to make sure everyone sees you running away.
We got to make sure. We just got to make sure, you guys. So King Koopa is in charge of this dinosaur world and has the plumbers imprisoned while sending henchmen out to find the missing piece of meteorite needed to merge dimensions. The Mario Brothers are imprisoned but escape and end up working with Spike and Iggy to get back to the city and find Daisy.
One other thing that I'll say about praise for this movie is that these sets are pretty incredible. Like this world, this Dino Hatton looks pretty great. And like even the club scenes, all the extras, this looks like it has fucking scope. And it's just like the story that inhabits it is just nothing, you know, but like it does look beautiful. It looks great.
My only issue with it is that, like, if this is Dino Hatton, is it underground Dino Hatton?
No, it's another dimension. It's the other dimension.
It's the other dimension.
So they've gone through the dimension and then they've come out of the underground into the same place, but in a different dimension, right?
And again, that's where I'm like, it feels like it's some underground dimension.
Well, let me ask you this. So up until just recently, King Koopa did not know that there was an alternate universe, right? He just thought this was Dino Hatton, right? He just said, this is what my place is. And then he found out later that, oh, there's another one. How did he know that there was another alternate universe other than just recently figuring this out? And if he did, if he didn't know about this, how did they know to call it Dino Hatton instead of Manhattan? How did they know that there was a place called Manhattan in another dimension? Why did they build a Statue of Liberty in a completely alternate universe? It's the laziest, dumbest plot I've ever heard in my entire life.
Well, and yes, but that again is
it's the same place, but different.
But it's different. It's the upside down world.
But see, it's not upside down world makes sense because it's another dimension in the same plane of existence. Yeah. This is like you might as well be in a whole other universe.
It's the same place, but shittier. Get it? But like that's again, what was I going to say? Like, and again, why is it now, it's now 20 years later from when he was there originally?
Yeah, so he was there.
He was there.
How did he get there?
And how did he get back?
Is there always this portal?
Why is it 20 years later and now this Iggy and Spike are running around
there
trying to grab a 20-year-old woman rather than just a baby?
Can't King Koopa just take all of his people, go through the portal, and take over the world?
Why do you have to merge these two dimensions? Them? You could just go through the portal.
You can just go through the portal and make that your new world.
Yep. I don't get it.
I hate the score.
Make a better movie. Oh.
I fucking hate the score so
make
much.
Make a better movie. make a better movie.
Alan Silvestri is good, but this is like a... unnecessarily whimsical, stupid, like, theme. And then, like, they get the Mario Brothers.
They even fucking play the theme song in the beginning.
In the beginning, but that's
why?
It.
Why?
But that's it. And then, like, this score is just, what do you guys think? Are you on with me? The theme sucks. Like, the underlying, like, you know, like, oh, someone jumped on their jump boots, like, and that's exciting. Those cues are good. But the theme is so stupid.
Half the time, I think the themes from this are from Tommy Boy, and half the time, I think they're from Batman. Yes, I'm serious. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there are serious, like, go back and listen to when they're driving through New York and stuff. It's like, come on, we gotta go, we gotta get there faster. We're plumbers. We can't stop for a meal on the way. It's like Mediacom today.
It's almost
like,
Three Ninjas.
They give you like a 3-hour window, but they're driving to this place, and you hear that, like, that Tommy Boy fun. Yeah. Fucking Peter Pfeiffer.
Jethro Tull.
I don't know. It's really hard. I'm gonna from here on out, guys. I'm gonna really try not to just like rip into this movie.
I have a question for you. We're not talking about whether this movie's good or bad.
Yep.
Who is a more evil old lady? This old lady when they get to Dino Hatton that kind of fucks them over, or the sweet old lady in the motorized cart in Dumb and Dumber? Who's more evil?
Ooh.
Well, I think you have to be real, real evil to perform evil shit and then not even talk about it. Like the sweet old lady on the motorized
scooter.
Yeah,
she's like, she went home. She's like, cool.
She's like, really, deuces, idiot.
Yeah, if you needed
taking your hat too.
2 24 packs of Bud Light more than a 30-year-old man did.
Yeah,
I'd say you're pretty goddamn evil. I'd say you're cooking up some schemes. On that motorized cart.
Yeah.
I love it.
This lady's hardcore. I gotta say. She's just ready to, like, what the hell does she have though? What the hell does she have though? It's just like it looks like a cock gun that zaps people. I don't understand what the hell it is.
Dino
it doesn't
Hatton's
even do
a rough
anything.
Place, dude.
It's a rough place.
It's a rough place, man.
Damn. I'm surprised that those boots could lift them titties.
Lift them bitty.
From
damn titties.
From that woman who actually took the stone.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
Those things.
No, those are powerful boots, man.
That's a note that I had.
That's a note that I had. It's like, I don't know how those boots raised those heavies, but they did. So
yeah.
I had enough time going away from talking about this movie in a bad way. Can we talk about how terrible of an actor Toad is? Also how pointless of a character Toad is.
I like him.
You like this guy?
I like him. I wish there was more of him, honestly. Oh,
I wish there was more of him as this guy.
As Toad, yeah. I think doing this to one of, like, it's he's like Toad's like a kind of a main character in the game.
Very important.
Right?
Who unveils no resemblance to what Toad is in the game. His character in the game looks in the game just the name Toad.
He's just got a turtled haircut, and that's about Toad. It. Apparently,
but he doesn't even have that in the game.
He is just a turtle in the game.
I disagree. The guy that played this, his name is Mojo Nixon. He's a musician.
A YouTube channel. It's actually pretty cool. Check it out.
He's just a bad actor. It's just like putting fucking Mr. Body in Clue. Like, oh, he's in this band. He's real cool. He's really good at music. Keep him in music.
Yeah.
Don't make him act. I just think Mojo Nixon does a terrible acting.
I like the lyrics. I like the King Koopa lyrics a lot. He's like, you can't sing songs about King Koopa. And so they put him in the thing.
Oh, freedom of speech, man. You know?
Well, okay, so like there's also a message that goes out, like an APB for plumbers. It's like, oh, we're looking for plumbers. It's like, oh, I guess the tool belt's a kind of a dead fucking giveaway,
dead giveaway.
Mario. But just scoop them right up.
They don't hear this APB or ABP or whatever the hell it is. They don't hear this. And then, like, they grab Toad, and then the cop just looks at him, profiles him, and be like, yeah, you're coming with us. It's like, wow, this is a real not cool thing.
They all look like they got their attire from Judas Priest,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty badass. It's just, like, this sparkly police,
you
know, on the back, and then, like, spikes on the shoulders. It's kind
Hell yeah,
of
dude.
Cool.
Breaking the law.
I feel like this
like
whole,
Motorhead,
like,
right, Mike?
Yeah, yeah, we're not going to talk about that. I feel like this whole de-evolution thing could have been so much, like, more frightening. You know, like, yeah, like as a kid, was that terrifying to you? The
no,
thought
it didn't make any fucking sense.
Right. Like it could have been, it like could have been this really crazy, scary thing. Like, you don't want that.
Yeah.
Like the dip from Roger Rabbit.
Right.
Like,
right.
Like, no, this is like, oh, now they get 5 feet taller and their head gets smaller and yeah, they just walk around.
Right. And again, it's too much for like someone like me as a kid to process this, like
de-evolution,
de-evolve,
Cretaceous period. What is it?
Yeah, like it doesn't add anything to it, and they don't put enough emphasis on it, like you say, to make it something very scary. Other than the fact that they're turning you into like a mindless monster,
which he looks pretty happy,
and then they do it to Toad, and you're just like, well, I guess it's not that bad. At least he's happy.
But then they do it. Then it happens to Koopa for a second, to where his eyes change, but then it's never talked about ever again.
Right.
He didn't change.
He didn't change ever.
Why did we do that?
Don't know. Can't tell you. There is no reason.
Well, there's that, who's the bitch? Who's
And why does she do the,
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand when he mentions Daisy, the princess or whatever, and she's just like,
I'm a jealous bitch.
Is that it?
That's what I am. I'm jealous, huh?
And it's just like, is that serve the plot later because she steals the stone and...
No, it doesn't.
Man, I'm sorry, guys. This is probably a bad episode.
No, this is a great episode. And in fact, I want to know if by the end of this, you still are like, no, you got it wrong. I want to know why.
The Goombas are terrifying, but also like hilarious.
That's the thing is like, I really want to try on this. I really want to try and figure this out as to like, you know, what's the saving grace of this movie? You know, I'm really trying to put it into perspective here, because at this point, this whole episode is just like spoilers. This movie fucking sucks. You know, but at the same time, I'm like, you know what? No, the set's cool. I think they're going to make some cool references here in a second. We get Yoshi, right?
Here's what's been happening, and here's what's going to happen. We are like the cast and crew, where we believe.
Pour me some whiskey.
Where we believed in this.
We still gotta keep talking.
We picked this because we're like, the new one's coming out.
We believed in the script, and I think we are all with talented people like Craig, who are producing our show and everything.
Aggro Craig.
But then there's just no substance to talk about. That's what's happening.
Okay,
right,
I got a thought here. Where they just, they're there. They get there. This police chase scene. You're like, okay, we got some action. We've got something happening, but then they just fuck it up so bad. Like, why are all these cars electric spitting out sparks?
Yeah.
What is the point? And why do we show that these cars are like bumper cars that have these little things that go up and touch a metal thing to get their power?
Right.
But then nowhere else at all ever are those touching anything?
Are they doing that again?
Getting power.
Yeah.
And why don't they have brakes? Why is that a thing where they don't have brakes?
Yeah, why don't these cars have brakes? Like, you know, they use electricity because they don't burn fossil fuels.
Fossils!
I'm trying, guys.
No, yeah, I think you did better than the script did. I really do.
All we needed was that next line. That's all we needed.
Well, you get your line with Dennis Hopper saying, you know what I love about mud? It's clean and dirty at the same time.
All right.
Dennis Hopper, everybody.
Dennis Hopper. And by the way, he has a germ problem.
Yeah, is that like the wax with his hands?
But then please explain to me why he's, first of all, why is he pretending to be a lawyer for 5 seconds? Remember when he meets Mario and Luigi?
Larry Lazar.
And Mario goes, nice to meet you. And he goes, I'm not going to shake your hand.
Yeah.
Then Mario sits down and then they shake hands.
Right.
What was different between 2 seconds ago and now?
The script.
That's very true. It's very fucking true.
Wow, you're absolutely right. So that was recorded over 2 days, and on day one, they're like, he's a germaphobe.
The direction.
We scrapped it.
It's either that or the direction is like, when you sit down, don't shake his hand. And then the other director is like, when you sit down, shake Luigi's hand, though.
Yeah. See?
What do you want me to do? I'll do whatever. Whatever. Yeah.
I don't know. And by the way, Iggy and Spike seem so dedicated to catching her and bringing her and pleasing Koopa And I believe we're about to get to the point that he evolves them further.
Yeah.
To be smarter, right?
And now that they're smarter.
Yeah.
Now they want to save her.
And they say, well, we've been on your father's side for a long time, like undercover agents or something. How is that? That's not possible. It's not possible.
And then there's...
father is fungus.
He's slime.
On the top floor.
Can we explain that? Can we try and talk about that?
Oh.
Why is there fungus everywhere? Is he because he was the king and now they turned him into fungus, so he's all over the city?
Well, you see level 7.1 in the first game.
Okay.
No, does not talk about this whatsoever.
Yeah.
So that's the mushroom aspect of like the Mario thing.
No, this was never done in Mario ever.
No, this fungus was never a thing.
Her father is Bowser?
Her father is King Toad, is basically.
Are
what
you
it is.
Sure?
That's what I'm saying. Is like they get Daisy and they show, well, this is your father now. And it's just a big old ball of snot.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Just, that is somehow communicating and saving them out in the world.
And, you know, trust the fungus.
It was like, yeah, well, okay. Tell Pedro Pascal that.
Yeah.
Okay, so Dennis Hopper plays King Koopa. There is a character in here played by Lance Henriksen, who looks exactly like her dad when he becomes a human again.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And his name is King Bowser. The fuck is going on?
What?
His character's name is King Bowser.
You know Lance Henriksen too, right?
What was he?
Bishop in Aliens.
Oh my god,
that's him. That's him at the end for 2 seconds.
So we've we don't have time to get him in a scene.
So,
why couldn't he just have been himself and like locked in a room?
Right.
And then where they talk to him, they're like, he's like, I'm King Bowser.
Maybe there's like
King
fungus
Koopa
attached to him and he's like, he's all like tentacled out or something like that to be more of a character.
Why?
It's awesome.
Why? Flames.
And
there's flames on your face. It's flames. Fire. Burning my skin. Your skin.
Anyway, so did you recognize Spike? Or Iggy, one of those actors.
I hate Fisher Stevens. I can't
fucking
stand
Fisher Stevens.
I've never liked him as an actor.
The only thing I remember him from was he was Ben in Short Circuit, Short Circuit 2. And that's the only thing that I recognized him from.
Okay, I do like him in those movies.
He's good in that.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I don't know him in anything.
I think it was in like Spin City.
Okay.
As like a small character or something like that. Somebody comment and semi straight.
Well, I think
remember to hit the bell, and so you know when we put new movies.
Let me know. Let us. Do you remind us about to talk about?
I can't remember if it was Thomas. There's Thomas Jane. I can't remember. It might have been the other guy. Well, this guy, who you're talking about, is like Wish Thomas Jane. But this is like, I think it's Scott Pilgrim versus the World. The two guys, the vegan police or whatever.
Oh.
I feel like he was one of them. But
Steven Edson or something.
Yeah. So either way, yeah, guys. I'm having a tough time. Can we just do something else?
Do you... Scene 4.
Thanks.
Koopa takes Daisy to Koopa Tower, and she meets a young Yoshi dinosaur and learns of her and her father's true identity. The Mario Bros. Arrive at the tower, where they rescue Daisy with the help of Toad.
Oh, good.
Who's now a Boomba.
Who's a Goomba with a harmonica.
A Goomba.
He's a Goomba.
So when
they gave him his harmonica just so.
Oh, good.
When this
so
dinosaur,
you can identify him.
Yeah.
When this dinosaur came out, I was like, so this is supposed to be Yoshi?
Yeah.
It didn't even cross my mind.
And then they say it's Yoshi. I'm like, but Yoshi's like the best part about the fucking games.
Yeah.
And you don't even capitalize on that. You don't even like...
You know,
to see Bob Hoskins ride a dinosaur.
This is the fucking thing. It's like
would be fucking awesome.
It wasn't like they're like, oh, Yoshi. It's like he's like this big.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do you ride that?
He's a young Yoshi. He's growing.
Oh, he's young Yoshi.
Well, I heard that this was added toward the very end when they fucking heard about Jurassic Park.
See, that was when that came on. I'm like, here, stick, stupid. Here, take the stick.
Yes.
Take the stick, stupid.
Like, and even, like, let's say Jurassic Park had never come out. This Yoshi would have been like, wow, that's fucking cool.
Yeah.
Like Yoshi looks pretty good and lovable. But then, like, you can only imagine they probably at some point had to have gotten wind of, like, Jurassic Park. Like, let's see what's, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Steven Spielberg. Oh, shit.
Oh,
well,
shit.
Fuck.
Stan Winston? Oh, shit.
I don't know. Let's just try to do something.
Did they film actual dinosaurs in Jurassic Park?
Oh, boy. Well, evolution's not real. Wow. So.
Oh, okay.
This was just like... And then, so this whole scene with Dennis Hopper and Martha Mathis. Samantha Mathis.
Yes, thank you so much. Wow.
What a creep.
What a creep.
Like the whole tongue thing and everything. It was just, but it was also kind of peak Dennis Hopper for me in this. I'd rather him be a creep in this movie than this movie be happening to me.
Slightly prophetic.
I feel like I got lizard tongued by watching this movie. It's just like a bombardment of exposition at this point. And there's no vehicle for it other than the fact that we better fucking explain something.
King Koopa has been doing this whole movie.
The minute he's on screen, he's like, "Well, and there was other dimensions, and I'm trying to merge the realms.
There used to be a video game, and then we made the video game into the movie, and then dinosaurs were here, and now I'm a king, and it's Koopa.
You got that?
Everybody got that?
Even the song choices don't do it for me. Like, first of all, they're in the club, and there's this song that sounds very much like a Lenny Kravitz song, but it's not. But then they're like, just wait till we hit them with the main song, Everybody Walk the Dinosaur.
Oh, my God.
Open the door, get on the floor, everybody walk the dinosaur.
I was so terrified.
Which, by the way, was a cover of the song played by George Clinton. They got George Clinton to cover that song for this movie.
Oh, damn. My God. We just keep going through it, and I think at this point all you do as someone who enjoys the game is you're just waiting for the next little Easter egg.
Yeah,
all you're doing is really just waiting for those little Easter eggs at this point. And like, honestly, you know, that's why you get excited when you see Yoshi.
Yep.
That's why you see excited when you see the little mushrooms on the fungus. That's why you. But then it never goes anywhere other than showing it to you.
That's right. At this point, while you're watching this for the first time in the theater, I have to imagine, if you're enjoying the movie, great. But if you're not enjoying the movie and you're still there, you're waiting for another reference for the video game because you're like, there's no semblance of what I loved and why I paid the ticket to be here. And so you're waiting for that. But I guess if you're like into the movie at the time, then fine. But at this point, there's nothing, you really have nothing except like little things here and there.
Yeah.
And that's not, it's just not enough. Especially if that's why, I have to imagine that's why they fucking made this movie, to bank on Super Mario Brothers.
Why else would you make this
exactly
movie?
Well, because Nintendo, when they started getting approached about this, and like they said, I mean, the movie can't fail. It's like Mario is,
we've
one of
built
the,
something gigantic.
It's bigger than, it's one of the largest things, pop culture icons of the 90s and even a little bit before that. And you're like, you have to think about that. And they're like, we can do whatever. And they didn't go to the highest bidder. They didn't go, like, these were not the highest bidders.
To add on to that,
they said, we want some creative vision in this and we want it to be good. They heard a pitch and they went with this model. That's what happened.
And then avoided it completely. Just said, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
To add on to that, it was just like, they, even if this movie failed, they'd be okay. So they're like, we don't give a fuck what you do.
Exactly.
And they were completely exactly. right. This is just erased from existence.
It really is.
Even when they do have those payoffs, Sean, like you were saying, we finally get this iconic moment of them in their red and green.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're their plumbers. Yet they're not even like in their traditional clothing. Like they're not wearing these overalls.
Not wearing overalls.
They're wearing fucking weird ass starter jackets.
Yeah.
Like it's not even they just like go for it. Oh, it's this red and green jackets instead of okay.
At no point do you feel them go all in.
No,
you know what I mean. That you just really don't feel that. And again, it's just a lot of nonsense. Of like, yeah, idea evolved King Bowser. Apparently now I'm realizing this. We de-evolved him into mucus or like this fungus, like the most like pre-evolved
thing. That can communicate
and
talk.
It can still communicate.
Yep.
And then like, what's the point of Daisy saying, guys, I want you to meet my dad. Dad, come on out, dad.
Didn't even know I had a dad, and now that I found it out, and it's just a weird penis fungus that comes down.
Yeah,
I love him.
Looks like just.
I really want to get to know him.
To talk more about the filmmaking too, where it's just like when they escape this dance scene, when they're like on like the railing or whatever, they have a scene where it's just like the classic tell and show method for the script, where it's like cops on one side, and then Goobas come out on the other. And then Bob House is like, oh, The Rock. And then John Leguizamo is like, oh, Daisy. We need to get Daisy. And so it's like all of these, it's all of the plot points all in one. And then they're like, oh, dump truck, jump. It's like, if you just didn't tell us all of that as we're being shown it, I wouldn't feel like I would be spoon-fed my fucking idiocy.
Even in the point of Dennis Hopper saying, Goomba.
Just so you know it.
Just so you know, this is a Goomba. And by the way, he's the Koopa King. We never see Koopas.
Nope.
We never see the turtly turtles ever.
And the Luigi's basically like, look, I told you, this fungus is trying to communicate with us. Look at this mushroom. It's trying to communicate with us. Let me kill it by ripping it out of its web that it's attached to.
Let me rip it out of there
so that it can't communicate with us anymore.
And by the way, and also they do it where look, Mario Brothers is a simple concept, okay? It's plumbers who want to save a princess, get high on mushrooms, and you know, they get high, get big, you know, get high on mushrooms, and they stomp on turtles.
It's a fucking great concept.
That's a simple concept, guys. But instead, you can't even take the most simple thing that this mushroom is basically like spinach for Popeye. Instead, you say, I don't really know how that would work, so let's just make the mushroom get big. What? What are you talking about? Like, there's nothing that connects. There's nothing, guys.
Absolutely.
I'm so upset.
Let's finish this. Okay. Scene five. Eventually, the two worlds do merge into one, but Luigi and Daisy remove the fragment from the meteorite, and the worlds separate again after Koopa does some damage. Back in Dino Hatton, Mario defeats Koopa, Daisy stays, and Mario and Luigi return home. The one big thing I want to talk about is why this movie felt the need to bring up one of the most confusing things I've ever heard recently. That apparently Mario and Luigi's last name are both Mario.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mario, and Luigi Mario. Yet, it makes sense because they're the Mario brothers.
Right.
They literally made this up in this movie.
Yeah.
And they made this shit up, this stupid fucking premise of them having the last name of Mario, to where then the Nintendo creator, like 10 years later, was like, you know what? Fine. That's right. And that's now canon.
They put it canon.
It is now canon.
Oh, no.
They decided that their last name was Mario. Why did we have to do this? And then you got... Then you got just like John Leguizamo, who I love, but man, he's just like that weird scene where they're like, who are you? And he goes, I'm Luigi Mario. You got a problem with that? The guy was like, he was just asking who you were. And he's saying,
I really don't. I just want to know who you were. I don't have a problem at all.
Again, they can't even get that reference right. I'm Luigi. Like, that's what.
I'm Luigi. He says, I'm Luigi Mario.
Okay, great. Like, I thought it was a funny thing that, like, when that happened between them and when they go into the police station, I did think that was a bit of a funny back and forth. But again, it's like these, like, they wrote it and they got away
with
it.
Then they tried to say, they almost tried to explain that they're like 20 years difference in real life, age-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, well, you're my brother, but you're my cousin, but my dad, but my brother. Like, do you remember that? He's like, yeah, well, then our parents died, and then I took you and made you my dad. And it didn't even make sense why they were saying this. Why do we even have to talk about this? And then the explanation of it still didn't make sense.
And there's also the fact that they separate again. Like, they don't even do this together most of this movie. Mario separates out because he's like, oh, I gotta go get Daniela. I gotta go save this other girl. But again, it's not Peach. It's just he separates out, and then again, I think most of this movie was just focused around Luigi and Daisy.
Yeah.
I feel like Mario's an afterthought.
There's like one thing that I thought to myself while watching this. I'm like, God, wouldn't Mario Brothers be a super fucking boring game if all you did was go around and fix shit with wrenches? And then I thought to myself, wouldn't this be a super fucking stupid, boring movie if all they did was go around, fix shit with wrenches, and have no sense being made at all
right.
without the entire movie? And that's what this was. But added on acid, like on cocaine and acid and Molly all at the same time with dinosaurs in it.
Well, Sean, and you know, Sean, you know that... you know that what we evolved from is slime?
Yeah.
You know that, right?
Sure.
We didn't evolve from, you know, from molecules and Big Bang. We evolved from slime.
is it like...
Do you got something?
Well, I'm trying to put together the whole... The meteorite fragment piece thing.
And how that...
Why? Why are you doing that?
No, put it... I want to hear this. What do you got?
Well, so...
I'll allow it.
Lena... Lena can stand getting electrocuted by the car grid that has no purpose. but she can't... The meteorite was too much for her. And she became a fossil.
We're merging dimensions, bro. Like, oh, that's a lot more powerful
we're
than
we're crossing
an electrical
the streams.
Grid.
We're merging, which is what I say when doing
when you
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just trying to liven this up.
Wow.
you got to do something at this point. It all merges together and Lena's dead. Thank God she had a lot of purpose in this and thank God she was jealous about something and I don't know. And then everybody but why do only a few of them start? Why did they start to disintegrate? Why'd they start to disintegrate? They weren't near the meteorite. They were just battling it out on the scaffolding, right?
Because somewhere
Mario
somewhere someone had a picture of all of them together.
Okay.
And as time kind of changes, it kind of you disappear, kind of like in Back to the
AJ,
Future.
You're absolutely right.
George.
Like why did they? Why did they go? Why did only a few of them go into the other dimension? And then why did they get drawn back into the other dimension when they could have just... We know how easy it is to just walk
through
the portal.
Go through the portal.
We know how easy this is. And did he turn back from a monkey?
Scarpelli?
Or is he permanently a monkey now?
Scarpellini, I think, is just permanently a monkey.
That's tight.
Don't care.
No, and I don't care. And that's the thing. It's like... Now we're all dissolving, and but they're not merging. They just transported over to the other.
So wouldn't they just go back to the
universe,
other?
Right?
So, like, and so then why did they go back? Why did they go back?
Why couldn't
did
they
pull? Did they get the fragment back?
Yeah,
out?
But still, the fragment, yeah.
So why did they go back? Why weren't they just caught in that world?
Yeah, why
now?
Didn't they just stay in the new one now?
And why is there a portal open? If you can dissolve into...
And again, we brought it up earlier. Why not just go through the portal and take it over? Like, bring all your fucking Goombas
bring
that
your
way.
Bring your fucking Goombas. Just I would be terrifying to see a bunch of, like, 1,000 Goombas walking down the street. Nobody would fuck with them.
No.
Well, but now they're dancing in elevators, so totally different.
What do you think a Goomba's fart smells like?
I think it smells like whatever Toad brought Daisy to eat.
Mm.
It smells like that after being eaten by Yoshi.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. I think like
it probably actually, you know what? It smells like Toad's microphone or a harmonica.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what it smells like.
I think either like if you've ever owned like a Komodo dragon.
Okay.
Like a couple of them, like their dead skin, like that kind of like weird.
That's what it smells like.
Kind of sour, dank smell mixed with like a. Like a cow pie. Yeah.
Just when you thought this movie couldn't get any worse, they went and totally set it up for a sequel.
Mm-hmm. They were confident.
They were so confident that this movie was going to have a sequel, just like Back to the Future. And so they said, well, we'll do the Back to the Future ending. where I'll come back and say,
but wait, there's more.
There's more.
Mario, you turn out fine in the other dimension, but your kids.
Your kids.
There's something that has to be done with your kids.
It's your kids, Luigi.
Mario, Luigi.
Your kids. This literally sets up that everything was fine. Like the people have won in Dino Hatton or whatever.
Fine.
Everything's fine. They're painting over King Koopa.
This is great.
King Bowser, the good guy, is back. Like, everything is fine.
This is an exchange from Daisy and Mario and Luigi. This is, like, literally the last lines that anybody says. You're never going to believe this. I will. You will? Yep. Credits.
I'm a believer in credits.
Credits.
And did you see the? Did you see it?
Yes. Did you see it?
After
credits.
After credit scene.
No.
This is Marvel Universe coming at you, like before anyone else was doing this shit.
Oh yeah, this is way ahead of its time.
Please explain.
So at the end of the credits, thank God, my wife was there, was sitting there.
Because you got up to go throw.
Very
up.
Tired. Yep. I got up because I just couldn't keep it in. I was more than ready to be done, and luckily she was still sitting there on the couch, and the credits were rolling, and sure enough, there is a post-credit scene that she said, hey, did you see the post-credit scene? I was like, no.
No.
And I said, God damn it. And so I had to go back, and I watched it, and it's some of the creators, I believe it's the creator of Mario.
Yes.
Marimoto?
Miyamoto.
Miyamoto, thank you. And Craig has been so mad this entire
Craig's been
thing.
Tired.
So mad.
Craig,
have you ever seen this movie?
No, but I played a lot of Mario.
Don't watch it.
Don't do it to yourself. So basically what it is, it's Miyamoto, and he's like, well, we love what's been going on. We would love to create basically a video game in your resemblance or whatever. And it goes, and it's Iggy and Spike. And they say, why don't we call it the Koopa Cousins? The Super Koopa Cousins. And we cut.
Okay. I feel bad for this episode.
Guys,
I feel bad that we're putting this out.
Nope.
I feel like that we couldn't. We got. Are we good anymore?
No. This is my fault. I said, "Hey, new Mario Brothers is coming out. We should do it."
We tried.
Koopa Cousins.
Guys, let's we've talked about this movie as far as we can. We have to give this a modern day rating. We have to think about the worst movies we have done and see how this pits up against it. So AJ, I'm going to start with you. We've dissected this. What is your modern day rating? You were an 8.6 as a kid only cuz you were lying to yourself.
Correct.
What is your modern day rating on this?
So can you pull up
yes.
my
oh,
bottoms?
Oh, yeah, believe me, I already got it. So AJ,
pull up my power bottoms.
AJ, you gave
that's me.
Blank Check a 2.1, Three Ninjas a 2.4, American Pie a 3.2, Cocktail a 3.9.
Do I want to watch this as much or more or less than some of those movies? All right, well, as I think about that, well, let me think out loud on it, honestly. There's so much of this, like about every single time you get to a point that you start to feel a little committed to it. They literally flip the script on you. In the most literal sense, that's what they do. And you read about this and you honestly, this might be the most interesting story behind a movie I think we've covered up to this point. It's definitely up there as far as interesting. Cast and crew made shirts dogging on the directors.
Yeah.
They called them names. They like behind their backs. Like, I mean, they were ruthless to it. There was so much like bad stuff happening on this set. It basically was like a cursed production. It's they're so often even references that should have been very clear were not. Big Bertha, the girl, the woman, the heavies. Right, she was a reference to a character, one of the like a fish character in the video game, way over your head.
A fish character.
Was she corpulent?
What's that?
Was she corpulent?
Corpulent.
Yeah, that was a quote. That was a line in the movie.
Oh, okay, corpulent. Yes, that's right.
Went over your head. That's amazing.
Oh, that's super weird. so, guys, I tried several times to pull out of this like kind of negativity about this movie, and it's really hard to do. The only things that came that were good that came out of this were honestly Bob Hoskins, yep. John Leguizamo, Dennis Hopper, and even then, unfortunately, as much as the cast and Samantha Mathis, as much as you want to, you know, use that as a platform to say that this has a good rewatchable value to it, I'm so sad for them because I don't think that it does. So that being said, what was my lowest?
2.1 was Blank Check.
And Three Ninjas was?
Three Ninjas was 2.4.
Wow. I can't say that I want to watch this more or less than Blank Check, so I'm going to give it a 2.1.
So you're tying it with Blank Check for the worst movie that we've done so far for yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. Sean, what about you, man?
Could you pull mine up, please?
You got it, my friends.
I reflect everything that AJ has
Sorry,
said.
Sorry, it was long-winded.
No,
yeah.
It's okay. That is pretty much how I feel about this, and I really think the best aspects about this is that you take an IP like the Mario Brothers and you want to do something different with it. I respect that.
100%.
And you put this budget to it and you create this kind of great, elaborate other world. The sets are amazing. I really liked all of that. And then the actors that you choose. I think they did a great job at casting. I really do. Dennis Hopper, maybe not. But yeah, Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo, I think, are a perfect Mario and Luigi. And that's just about it, man. And I never want to watch this movie again.
That's tough, isn't it? You gave Three Ninjas a 3. That's your lowest rated movie. Blank Check a 3.5. Cocktail a 3.7. Explorers a 3.9. Christmas Vacation 4.6. I know that's you want to change Christmas Vacation to a 0, correct? Someday you want to change that.
Perhaps.
You hate
no,
that.
No, this is worse than Kay. Christmas Vacation.
Wow.
I'm going to go 2.
Two.
I really hate to, I'm you guys thought coming into this show that I would be more critical about movies than you guys, and I tend to say that these movies should be propped up more than they should. I really just think this is just so all over the place where it's just there's no redeemable factor to it at all. And if you love it, you love it, and that's fine.
Well, that's the thing, Sean. I think there are a lot of people out there that like this movie for the badness of it. There's a whole culture of like liking a movie because it's so bad.
And no, this had some resurgence for did. That. It really did. It had some resurgence as some cult classic, you know, feature. But
yeah,
but I don't even think it. For me, anyway, it doesn't even fall into that category because even those it's so like bad it's serious. Good. Those so bad it's good movies. Are straightforward, mm-hmm. but they're like the way they're made is kind of like off. This movie is just so all over the place; you can't even grasp a single aspect of it.
Right.
That's why I don't like it.
Yeah, it's just when a movie is so bad that the people that created it never do a film ever again, which happened on this. That's something to be said.
That's your directors.
When your actors actually come out and go, "This was the worst experience of my life." That is, there's something to be said about that because those two things do not happen very often. And so, yeah, this is my lowest rated movie. This is a 2 for me. We got to see what David Gould says, executive producer. He says, sitting down to a random bootleg copy of this movie on some random website, I took a swig of Cedar Ridge to wash the bad taste of nostalgia from my mouth. Mm. Watching along, all I could think is whoever pitched this version of Super Mario to the studio executives must have spent the weekend doing illicit drugs, playing old school Nintendo and binging movies like Demolition Man, Blade Runner, and The Running Man.
You nailed it.
But I will say this, if you take the haphazard attempt at making this a Mario movie, you would have the potential of a film younger me would have truly enjoyed. With the all-star cast, Bob Hoskins was truly the Stanley Tucci of his time and a cinematic treasure taking every role so seriously and making it fun. Johnny Legs was young, fun, and absurd. And the whole time I was waiting for Dennis Hopper to say, pop quiz, hot shot.
Yes.
I wish my modern eye would have loved this movie more, but two factors bumped my rating up. A, Bob Hoskins, and 2, using actual Mario lore to pull Daisy into the story for Luigi. So with all this, my modern day rating is a 4.25. Also, can I get the plunger gun rack as my prop?
Nice.
Guys, with his higher rating, we are a 2.59. which I think is going to be of no concern to anyone. 2.59. Hold on a second. Let's find this out. Modern day ratings for us. That is going to take us to the very bottom. That is the worst movie we've done and rated. Three Ninjas being a 2.8.
There you go, Chris. Three Ninjas is back.
Three Ninjas is back.
It's back, baby. Wait till we get to Mega Mountain. Guys, I want you to understand that this show is really a family affair. And the fact that my wife spent her hard-earned $4 to buy this DVD for me so I could, in fact, watch it. And that takes a lot. I can't believe she would, like, anyone would spend
Honey,
money on
I bought
that.
It for you.
And I, you know, because you can't find it
That's
anywhere.
That's what it sounds like.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly
Honey.
It. That's really good.
thought she was in the room.
And so, yeah, I know. So, so I just want you guys to know that $4, you can own this as well, this like, masterpiece.
I'll sell it to you.
Yeah, I'll sell it
to you. I
don't
want
so,
it anymore.
Three Ninjas, I loved talking about Three Ninjas with you guys. I love doing the show, but this, I even talking about Super Mario Brothers didn't make me like it anymore, and that usually happens
yes,
with like
yes.
like a like Encino Man. I liked talking about it, and it raised my rating. This had nothing.
There's something to be said about that. So
yeah,
well, we hope you enjoyed the episode.
I'm
Thanks
sorry.
For being here. Tune in next week. We're gonna go a Harry Potter first Harry Potter. That is an AJ choice. We're gonna try to
Chris Columbus. Let's go.
Yes,
let's go, baby.
And we're gonna follow that up with Fargo.
Oh my!
Can you believe it?
Oh my!
And if you're new to the podcast, go back this time last year to talk about a truly good movie, Tommy Boy. Yep. This time last year, we had a lot of fun with Tommy Boy.
Yeah, same music.
Same music. And don't forget, we have a voicemail. Call us at 319-804-9596. Nice. Leave us some feedback, like today's caller.
KJ, Sean, how the heck are you guys? This is Big Caesar. From the Lone Star State of Texas. Just got done listening to the Mrs. Doubtfire podcast. One of my favorite movies in the growing up. Loved it. Can't wait for y'all to do my other favorite 90s movie, My Cousin Vinny. Hopefully y'all do it soon.
Yes.
Just wanted to say, love listening to the podcast. I look forward to every Wednesday when a new episode comes out. Can't wait. One thing I was disappointed about the Mrs. Doubtfire podcast was y'all didn't talk about the deleted scenes of that movie. Mm-hmm. They had tremendous deleted scenes, man. My all-time favorite one was definitely when Daniel was talking to Liddy after she lost in the spelling bee. In my opinion, that scene should have been in the movie. But anyway, guys, y'all are doing a great job. Keep up the good work. Looking forward to more of y'all's great podcast on Wednesdays. Later.
Thanks, dude.
Is that Big Caesar? Is that what he
said? I think that's what he said. Big Caesar?
Yeah.
Big Caesar. Forgot that wrong. Sorry.
Drive safe. And I should have looked up the deleted scenes.
And we talked a little bit about the fact that like that movie should have been probably like 3.5 hours long.
Yes.
That was like the original cut. And there was also like multiple cuts. And I wish there was all that. I wish we had the 3.5 hour cut.
Definitely.
To be honest. So thanks again for calling in, man. We really appreciate you guys listening to this. If you've stomached this whole episode with us, then by God, give us a 5-star review. Write us a 5-star review. And so we can read it because we love reading it. And guys, find us on social media at Confused Breakfast anywhere, Instagram, Facebook, all those good places.
Find us
on those social medias at Confused Breakfast and check us out on YouTube.
Go to confusedbreakfast.com and check out our merch. Buy our shirts. You can buy our shirt with our logo on it. You can buy our shirt with some of our sayings on it, like damn dang it. You can buy some coffee mugs as well. Go and check out our ratings at confusedbreakfast.com. We just put this as the lowest rated movie combined on the show. And I think it deserves it. You can also look at our individual ratings of every movie we've ever done. And I love you. And I'm sorry about this episode.
No, it's okay. There's two things you can directly spend your money on that not only put stuff in your pocket, but also put support into this podcast. One, buy stuff from our sponsors. Use those promo codes. That gets you something for your money and also shows how awesome we are to our sponsors. Number two, join the Patreon. That is the best place to get bonus audio. We're going to talk about, let's talk about video game movies after this for our bonus audio podcast. So you get to listen to that bonus conversation. If you join Patreon, you got backlogs of everything. You got voting on upcoming movies, private Discord server, so much more. Patreon.com/confusedbreakfast. We are produced by Upload Media Group in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. We got Agro Craig on the controls.
Yeet.
So mad at our talking about Mario Brothers. Sorry, Craig. UploadMediaGroup.com. Also, we are on the Cloud 10 iHeartMedia Podcast Network. Check that out at cloud10.fm. That's it for us. Goodbye.
Deuces.
It's a me.
It's a me.
Luigi.
It's a me. Hey.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.